Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts is charting an uncertain course, facing declining enrollment and an unstable financial future. President Miriam Nelson has found herself in the heart of controversy. After a board vote to only accept a limited incoming class for fall 2019, the college began layoffs that could put 30 to 50% of the faculty and staff out of work. Those projections are based on the fact that the college's faculty is pegged to the number of students at the college, which will now face a precipitous decline due to the board's vote. Following student and alumni protest and an attempted vote of no confidence from the faculty on Wednesday, Nelson spoke with WAMC Thursday.
Well, as you can imagine, as a president, you have to take a lot away from a potential vote of no confidence. It's a serious action for faculty to take, and it certainly concerns me. There is a lot going on right now, as you can imagine, at Hampshire, and since I took over the position in the middle of July, I've had to really get up to speed really quickly and to understand where we are in terms of our finances, and we are in a precarious position, and it is absolutely essential that we right now work to stabilize our finances, which is really, really difficult to do, but also look to the future and a potential partner who really believes in our educational mission and can help us to make sure that we remain impactful for the future.
What do you make of the criticism from faculty, staff, and students that they were excluded from these decisions about the college's future?
Well, there were a lot of people involved in the decision making. I had numerous assemblies in the fall. I spent days with the Board of Trustees starting last August, then in October, then throughout the later fall. And there are multiple people who have been involved in these decision making, and it's just hard. Hampshire's a different kind of place. I think it's a very level. A level kind of governance structure, and it's not always easy and possible to get to every single person, but we have a very progressive governance. We're one of the very few colleges in the country with full voting member of a student, faculty, and staff on the Board of Trustees, and actually also our deans, who are so critical, are of the faculty and for the faculty. They rotate in and out of that position. So we have a very progressive governance structure here.
Multiple chapters of the American Association of University Professors have expressed concern that that value of shared governance was violated in this process by not including more faculty members. And I've heard from some people that they were surprised to hear that even deans of the college's schools were not involved in the decision. What's your response to that?
Well, you can always do better with trying to make sure that everybody's informed. I think the timing for us, we needed to move more quickly than we had hoped in terms of sort of all the things that are happening right now. And we've got a number of different committees. We've got a blended committee that's coming from two different committees that I'm working with. I'm working closely with the deans. In fact, in about 15 minutes, I'm meeting with the deans. And so everybody is very, very involved. We were not ever going to make decisions about what partner we would be going with unless there were very much of a public phase, and so that the whole community can be involved. And so the hope is that if we can sort of get through this really, really trying time right now, and our partners that I'm talking to can stick with us, that we'll have that public phase hopefully within the next month or so, and everybody can be very engaged, and that would be very non-binding. So that's really an important part here. As you can imagine, any partner I might be speaking to right now wants to remain confidential, and so we need to make sure before we go public with anybody, that our campus constituents, this core group that I'm working with, that there's enough there to make sure that there's enough aligned interests in our common set of values to be public.
Do you have a sense of the scope of the next round of layoffs in April?
I don't yet. No, I don't. We're working with the deans. They're going to be leading the effort in terms of sort of the decision tree around what our needs are for the fall based on our census. So I know they're hard at work at that right now, but we don't know yet what the scale will be.
The initial estimates range from 30% to 50%, and some faculty I've spoken to are concerned that could be even higher than that. Do you think there's a possibility that there would be over 50% of the faculty and staff?
I certainly hope not.
What factors would directly influence that percentage?
Our student census.
And can you expand on that a little bit? What does that involve?
It's the number of students that we are teaching. So it's the number of students that are on campus. And we were always going to have to be making cuts in faculty and staff, regardless of whether we took a class in for the fall or not. And so we need to make sure we're meeting the needs of the students. And that's not completely, but it's quite closely aligned to the number of students that we have.
I've spoken to students and faculty members about this situation in Hampshire, and a lot of them have expressed a similar sense of confusion and even fear about the future at Hampshire. What is your message to faculty who can't tell students whether or not they're teaching a class next semester, or students who are perhaps interns or RAs trying to counsel students even younger than them?
Right. Well, I have to be honest and say that up until 2 days ago, I did not at all see a future where we were not open and being impactful. And these last couple of days, with this potential vote of no confidence, not only in myself and the CFO, but also in the leadership of the board, and this is a board who has given dearly of their resources and even more importantly of their time, this is sort of unprecedented. So this is the first time that I personally have been worried about the college closing. So it's a real concern, but I can tell you that I'm working fearlessly to find the right solution moving us forward, and I'm engaging many people in the process.
Faculty, staff, students, and alumni have all floated a number of different alternate suggestions for how the college could move forward. Have you heard anything from that conversation that's influenced how you're looking at the future of Hampshire?
Well, certainly, yeah, we're looking at all these different ideas, and I think right now it's an unprecedented number of alumni who have been engaged. We've had over the years not very, very engaged alumni. We've had certain alumni very engaged, but now we have more alumni than we ever have. They've really been galvanized, and I think right now the trick is to really harness that energy in a positive direction to really enhance our future. So we're looking at a number of those different ideas.
Very quickly into your tenure at Hampshire, you've sort of found yourself in the midst of a lot of conversation and a lot of big decisions about the college's future. Has any of this challenged your commitment to staying in the position that you currently hold?
I am very committed to this college. I didn't back away on May 2nd when Jonathan Lash called and told me of how we did not meet our enrollment numbers, and didn't back away then, and I'm not backing away now. But I will say that this has shaken me, and it's shaken the senior leadership, and it's shaken the board. And I want to make sure that I'm effective. And if I'm not effective, then certainly I'll consider, stepping down. But I'm care deeply about this place. But I really want to make sure that we find that path forward. But I am very worried about a leadership vacuum at the college right now.
In your conversations with potential partners for Hampshire, is there a red line of sorts that you see where certain requests or demands from partners would be losing too much of the college's character?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. We have a set of really solid grounding principles that we're using, guiding this effort around our reputation, around caring for our people, the educational mission, making sure that we have high impact. So, yeah, there's a number, there has to be enough there to make sure that it's something that Hampshire should be actually entertaining, and that's a really critical element.
After the first round of layoffs on February 19th, what process goes into sorting out who's going to stay and go over the next few weeks as that April deadline approaches?
We need to look at all of the different departments. We need to understand what do the students need for the fall, and that's how those decisions will be made.
In this process, have you found yourself turning to previous Hampshire leaders to understand exactly what these decisions may have some sort of historical precedent?
Yes, I have. In fact, I've met with or talked with all of the past presidents, and they've been very helpful. It is a different time right now in higher ed, like no other in terms of disruption and the demographics, the downward push on enrollment, wanting to make sure we're accessible. It's a really unprecedented time, so it's quite different. But I certainly have learned a long history of Hampshire operating under very trying times financially, but these are quite different times than we've had in the past.
I've heard of calls for financial transparency from faculty and students and staff. Are you making efforts to show those groups exactly what's going into these decisions?
Yes, I can honestly say, and I've heard this from other presidents across the Commonwealth, New England, and elsewhere, that they have never seen more transparency in our finances. We publish them online. We have provided deep briefing sessions for people. It's just unprecedented. So, and I must say, some other presidents are wondering the wisdom of the transparency that we have provided, but I think it's really important for people to see those numbers.
A lot of controversy emerged after the February 1st vote to not accept a full incoming class for the fall 2019 year, just weeks after the January 15th announcement. Why did the board move so quickly to vote after that announcement?
It was January 15th that we said we were contemplating it. We had a board meeting on the 31st of January and the 1st of February, and our next time for admitting students was February 1st, and we felt it was important from a consumer sort of the ethics of these wonderful applicants that they know about what is happening before we would accept them. So that was the reason for the timing. And I'm happy to do one more question, and then I have to go.
If you had to redo any of this process again, what do you think you would do differently?
Number one, it's not easy as a new president when you don't know the community and the community doesn't know you. I worked really hard in the fall to get to know people. It's hard to say what I would do differently, but right now I think that where we are is where we were going to be regardless of any different decisions that were made. But we're trying to communicate with the campus. I'm meeting with many people individually in groups. I've done numerous assemblies, and we're trying to keep up with the written piece so that people that are not on campus can also understand what's going on. So we are doing our very best, and we have a very lean staff here. Hampshire is leanly staffed, and so we are doing our very best.